All right, so the 7 days of creation will start this Wednesday night, and we'll go from there. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. The title is The Name of Jesus. The title of my sermon is The Name of Jesus. It may be a couple weeks worth, but the title is there. It is The Name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. You there yet?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not, say, oh my. Oh, by the way, where's Jamie? Jamie's famous. He has a picture with Mike Tyson. My God, how did you manage that? Did you knock him out, knock a tooth out or something? That's wonderful. He was with Mike Tyson the other day. Praise the Lord. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, therefore, God has also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Man, that's shouting stuff right there. God has given him a name that's above every name. He says, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now go to Mark chapter 16. Let me give you one more scripture. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15 says, you there? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. It says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. There's something special about the name of Jesus. So today I want to talk about that wonderful, beautiful, powerful, amazing, high and lifted up, greatest name that has ever been issued, proclaimed in this world, the name of Jesus. Amen. What is it about that name that causes blind people to see? What is it about that name that makes the lame to walk, that makes the dead to be raised, that makes lives to be transformed, and that allows us to get into heaven and be saved? There's something special about the name of Jesus. But in order for us to understand the name, we have to understand the person behind the name. In order to understand the name, you have to understand the person behind the name. Because the value and the authority of the name is dictated by the person behind that name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. There is so much in these four verses that it'll knock your socks off if you're wearing them this morning. If you got a hat on, it may knock your hat off. If you haven't drunk coffee, it'll fire you up. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Come on, say it again, man. Hebrews chapter 1. There is something special in these four verses that I'd like to bring out this morning, and we're going to start here, and who knows where we'll go from here. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. You ready? All right. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself, and you can start underlining from this point, or highlighting in yellow or pink or whatever kind of highlighter you got. He says, when he had made himself, when he had by himself, notice that, he did this by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus inherited a name more excellent than the angels, more excellent than anything that has ever existed. Now let me tell you what this scripture literally says and the thought behind it when the writer wrote this. The commentaries say this, that when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, he was actually talking about a time that God had a name that he actually had in his back pocket, so to speak. It was a name that was reserved for one person. It was a name that was hidden that no one else knew. Let me give you an example. So would you agree with me that angels were created before Jesus was born? Yes or no? Yes. Absolutely. It's not a trick question. Yes, the angels were created who knows how long ago. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Okay, I'm not talking about him being the Word who always existed. I'm talking about Jesus the man. Okay, got it? You got it? Oh, you Bible students some are the worst sometimes. I do have to clarify. That's what I'm trying. Just open your brain a little bit. Jesus the man came after all the angels were created and named. Yes? Okay, so who knows infinity and beyond before God created angels, and he created one and he started giving names out, right? So we know three that have names, right? Lucifer, who became Satan, Michael, and Gabriel. That's all we have in the Bible. We have classes of angels like seraphim and cherubim and, you know, living creatures and things like that. But those are the only three names we're given in the Bible. You read other books, like the book of Enoch and, you know, other apocryphal books, they'll give you other names. But literally in this Bible, we only have three names. But they all have a name, because the Bible says so, that he's given angels names, but we don't know what they are, but they were given names. So as he's given names out, he's hiding one name. He's keeping one name for himself, for one special person. Now he creates somebody called Adam, who the Bible says was a son. God looked at him as a son, and he gave him a name, but he gave him the name Adam. So God's still holding back a name. Because this is a special name. Because this name will be above every single name. And in order to get this name, you've got to do two things. Number one, you've got to achieve the name or earn it, or you have to inherit it. Now, if I mention the name Kennedy, you would think of who? JFK, JFK Jr., and then Maria Shriver. Any Kennedy inherits a name, and then with that, you think of money, right, government, things like that. If I mention the name Obama, right, you think about Michelle, his daughters, the Obama family as president. If I say a name, you think about an inheritance, or these people carry a name. Right? So a name, you know, if I say Muhammad Ali, what do you think? You think about the greatest boxer of all time, right? So names mean something. Names carry something. How about Moses, right? They gave him the name Moses because Moses means what? Drawn from water, correct? So his name meant something. So every time we have a name given, when you look at your child when they're born, what do you look? You look, let's call them Jehoshaphat. No. You give them a name that describes their character. Correct? Okay. So Jesus did two things. He achieved a special rank that no one else achieved, and he inherited a name that no one else had. Look at Hebrews again. Let's look at verse 3 again, and let's go through this. It says here, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, look at this, when he had by himself purged our sins In other words, he did something no one else ever did or could do. He did this by himself. He didn't have help from anyone. It says he purged our sins, and then what did he do? He got a rank. He was allowed to sit down at the right hand of majesty on high. Because of the achievement, because of what he did, he earned the highest seat in the universe. There is no place higher than where Jesus sits. He's got the highest seat, and he sat down. Why? Because he earned it. In other words, that seat was sitting there empty until one person can purge our sins by himself. And once that took place, God said, come here. That's your seat. And that seat belongs to a special person that I've never told anybody until right now. When you sit there, your name is Jesus. And anybody who believes in that name shall be saved. Anybody who believes in that name, I'll wipe away their sins because of what you achieved. In other words, he says this, whatever he achieved is good for everybody who believes in the name. We don't understand the magnitude of his name. The world uses it as a curse. Jesus, you know, they say, and they say this and that. But if you mention his name with faith in his name, what does the world do? Oh, what do you got to bring him in? What do you got to talk about? Oh, you're getting all religious on me or something? When we say God, they don't care because everybody's a God to the world. But you say Jesus, and if you say it in Afghanistan, you'll get your head cut off. I went to Egypt three years ago to preach Jesus, to teach a Bible school down there, and they told me one thing, do not bring your Bible, and do not convert anybody in the hotels or wherever you go, because you will get your head cut off. You're not allowed to convert people in Egypt. Okay, praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm here. Thanks for telling me when I got here and not before I got there. Because the name does something to people. There's so much weight in the name. Now, Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2. God bless you. Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at the magnitude of his victory. Why his name achieved so much. Why the mention of his name carries so much weight. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. You good? Think about what Jesus said in Mark 16. He says, in my name you'll cast out devils. In my name you'll speak with new tongues. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick shall recover. In my name signs will follow them that believe. In my name you'll raise the dead. In my name you'll transform the world. In my name you'll make demons flee. You'll make people's heads spin when you mention my name. And then in Matthew 28, he said, all authority has been given unto me. Go in my name. Colossians 2, verse 14, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, having made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, here's more a greater picture of what Jesus did to earn his name. Or let me say it a little differently. This is a greater picture of the war Jesus fought for us. You don't realize this, but Jesus went to war for your soul. He went to war just for you. Sometimes you ask your friends, well, why don't you stick up for me, right? You know, somebody talks about you, right? And what do you say? Well, why don't you stick up for me? Well, guess what Jesus did? He stuck up for you. He went to war for you. Jesus went to the darkest, deepest, most demonic, disgusting place in the universe. And he went in there and he fought every single dominion, power, and principality and might. He beat every single one of them, and he took the handwriting, it says here, the letter that was against us. Let me read this. This is going to be cool. It says this, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, there was something written that was against us. And the only way to get rid of that thing is to nail it to the cross. Now, let me explain. In the old days, actually in the Middle East, there is a tradition that how many of you have ever had a bill and you made payments on it, right? In today's world, you'll make a payment and you'll get an email, right, and telling you how much you have left, right? Or you can get an app, and the app will tell you, okay, you paid this much, you have, 10 installments left to pay the bill. Well, in those days, everything was on paper. And what they did is once your bill was paid off, they would take it and they would put it in the public square and they would nail it to a tree and say, this debt has been paid in full. So in other words, the person's name on it was the person who owed the money, and on the bottom was the name of the person who owed to, and that person said, okay, paid in full. So in other words, when he was paid in full, he was released from any obligation. Good? In Greece, when I was there, my cousin and I were driving in the car, and we went by a person's house, and there was a tree, a pole in front of it, a wooden pole, and there was a note attached to it. And he stopped and he looked, and I said, what is that? And he said, oh, so-and-so died. I said, don't they have newspapers, obituaries here in Greece? I mean, don't they publicize it that somebody died? He goes, no. He says, it's not just his death announcement, but it tells all the debtors that they can't claim anything anymore. And he says, and the way we do it here in Greece is you have to nail it to a pole in the public place so everybody knows the debt was paid. But it only comes because of death. I was like, oh man, Colossians chapter 2, right there, verse 14. What did Jesus do? He took the debt that was against us and he nailed it to his cross. Guess what piece of paper that was? Him. It was him. It was his body that was the letter, the paper, because he took our debt. He took our sins. He took everything that was against us. And he took himself as a piece of paper and he went, nail it to the cross and tell the world that the debt's been paid. And the Bible says he did it by himself. He paid the debt for every single one of us by himself, and no one in 6,000 years and 10 billion people that have ever lived have been able to do that. Next, it says this, having disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them, he said, and triumphing them over them in it. So after he paid the debt by himself, he went after Satan. And he said, I'm coming for you. And he says, and everything you have pointed against my people, I'm coming to disarm you. Listen, it says he disarmed them. You know what disarm means? It means they had weapons against us. You don't disarm somebody who doesn't have a weapon. And this is war terms. In other words, for 3 days and three nights, Jesus went to war. You thought he was just dead and sleeping in a grave? No, he was actively fighting for our souls. He fought a battle that was infinite. There is no day and time in hell. He had no idea what day and time it was, but he fought and he fought and he fought and he never gave up. He fought and he fought and he fought and he said, I'm not stopping until I come for you, Satan. And he went through a whole line of minions and soldiers. He disarmed them, took their weapons away, and he went up to Satan. He said, "You're next. I'm the champion of champions. I'm the king of kings. I'm Almighty God, and I've come for what you've done to my people." He stuck up for us. He fought for us. He won for us. His name is excellent. His name is powerful. There's no other name under heaven. There's no one who did what he did. In the deepest, darkest regions of hell, he fought a battle that none of us knew. While we're sleeping at night, he was fighting, sweating, I mean, just doing everything he could to win us back. Luke 11. You think there's something special about that name? You have no clue what went into that name. Whew. We need more Jesus preaching. I'm not going to go there. Let me wait. Luke 11. I know every demon in hell is angry with me right now, and I'm happy about it. Luke 11:21. Watch this. Luke 11:21. Ready? Luke 11:21. You there yet? I'll wait till it gets on the screen. You need a Bible, folks. Read it for yourself. Ready? What? Okay, Luke 11:21. Ready? Watch what Jesus says here. When a strong man, fully armed, notice he's fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Guess what he's talking about? He was talking about himself going in to fight the strong man. He says, yeah, you think he's strong? There's a stronger than him coming that's going to disarm him and grab every weapon and every armor he has. And I'm going to take the keys of death and hell away from him and destroy him once and for all. He's talking about himself here. He was stronger than the strong man. Watch what he says next. And he gets really serious here. He says, and he who is not with me is against me. Man, that is one of the strongest statements Jesus ever makes. If you're not with me, you're against me. We all know Jesus is a loving God, right? Oh, he loves us. He will never say something like that. Well, he did. He did. You're not with me, you're against me. I'm going to fight a battle for you. If you don't got my back, then you're against me. He was saying, I'm going to fight a war. Folks, I'm ready. I'm going to spend 3.5 years with you, you know, teach you and all that. But when I lay my life down, I'm not done yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hanging on that cross is nothing to what I'm about to do. I'm going to fight the strong man in this earth. And once I do, you'll be free from every bondage that has ever taken you. Hebrews chapter 2. Praise Jesus. I haven't preached here in about 4 weeks, so I'm a little fired up. I apologize. Just a little bit. I'm not rolling over and dying and allowing the world to tell me what to believe or what to do. Neither this church. We need to be strong in this day and hour. People are worried. People are in fear. The world is going nuts. There's got to be a strong church that knows how to get a hold of God and pray in his name and preach his name and stand against hurricanes like Henri and Ida and everything else that's coming. I'm not making this up. This is Bible. I'm not the type of preacher to stroke you and make you feel good. Hebrews chapter 2, look at this, verse 14. It says, inasmuch as the children, partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. In other words, for Jesus to get on his playing field, and for Jesus to get in hell, for Jesus to get on the devil's battlefield, he had to die. And he said, and in my death, I will conquer death. Think about it. All of a sudden, Jesus appears in hell, and all devil's minions grab a hold of him, point every single weapon against him, and say, ha ha, we got you. He goes, oh, no, you don't. I came here just for you. And then, boom, he busted everybody off of him. He disarmed them, took their guns away, knives away, whatever weapons they had, and he went after Satan. He says, I'm coming for you, pal. And he took the keys of death and hell. Listen, look what it says. Sorry. It says, and he says, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death. Let me read that again. That he might destroy him with the power of death, that is a devil, and release those who through the fear of death. We've been living in the fear of death for the last 16 months, folks. He said, I came to release you from the fear of death. I've come to release you from the fear of death. He says, we're all their lifetime subject to bondage. It is bondage to be afraid to die. Paul said, I am betwixt two, whether to stay here and to live is Christ, to be with you, or to go on and be with Christ, which is far better for me. Why? Because I don't fear death. What happens when one day somebody points a gun in your head and says, you denounce Christ or you die? What would you do? Think about that. I'm sorry for being angry. I don't mean to be angry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, verse 9. I'm almost done. I'm going to do a 2-3-4-parter. I don't know. 2-3-4-parter. Whatever it comes out. There is something special about his name. When you say his name, all of heaven stands at attention. Philippians 2:9. Check this out. Philippians 2:9. You get anything out of this? This is our name. Philippians 2:9. He says, therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Notice, him. And then he gave him a name. He says, okay, because you did this, my son, not only did you achieve a rank, not only did you fight the battle, not only did you purge sins from everybody by yourself, you did this, my son. Now I'm going to give you a name that's above every name. Notch this, and given him a name which is above every name, and watch this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. How many knees? Every knee. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Jesus' name has power and authority over three realms. So when you mention his name here, heaven and hell pay attention. So when you pray in his name, he says, whatever you pray in my name to the Father, I'll do it for you. Why? Because when you mention his name here, heaven and hell take note. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, I'm just going to say it. Nor there is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we might be saved. Virgin Mary can't save you. Saint Joseph can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. I'm not picking on any religion. I'm just telling the truth. This person, I'm ending with this. This person named Jesus was looked down by his people, has been ridiculed by the world, has been used as a curse word today. But this name that has sounded in eternity forever is the greatest name, the greatest power, and the greatest authority that will ever be, ever and ever and ever, given to men. People mock him, make fun of him, say nasty things about him. But he said, my name is the only name that will make demons bow and that will save your soul. Whew. I would leave here. I asked John to sing those songs this morning. I don't want credit for it. I'm just saying, there's something about that name that we Christians need to get a hold of. That it's not just a name that we should just use flippantly. Because heaven, hell, and the earth stand at attention when they hear that name. People take note when they hear that name. Sickness must go in that name. Yes. Hallelujah for that name. Thank you for that name. Come on, just worship him. Thank you, Lord, for say that name. Say the name. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Jesus. What a mighty name. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. You'll speak with new tongues. In my name, you'll speak with new tongues. In my name, you'll take up serpents and they will not harm you. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing,